Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. We're here to talk all things Club America in English. The Liga MX is back in action, and we'll get you guys covered with everything going on in the game around Atlas and America on Sunday. And to help me preview that and talk all things America, it is then the original, the main man himself, everyone's beloved cowboy, Mr. Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Drum roll, please. I am back after so long.
How many days straight
to work? 26 before I got a day off, though. I couldn't believe it.
Wow, you went almost a month there, my friend.
I know, I was counting them, and I thought I was going to hit 30, but got lucky. Had a four-day weekend.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, glad to have you back on. Excited to talk America. Give us a little update on you. What was for breakfast?
Breakfast today. I actually went to go get a concha and some cafes. My friend, she has like this like little pop-up coffee shop. And she makes the coffee like Mexican flavor. So like she makes like a gansito. She makes like a churro like coffee. Okay. And like it's so freaking good. And I got a churro this morning with my concha.
All right. Well, that sounds like an awesome breakfast. And I just had some green tea and a bag of hot Cheetos. So I mean, I think yours sounds like it definitely won.
What a great start, a bag of hot Cheetos, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I was like, why not? Let's kick things off with a bang. But yeah, I mean, hey, got me through the day, and it sounds like yours got the job done as well. So shout out to your friend for the amazing work right there. So
yes,
well, Dylan, it's been a while since me and you have talked. I think last time me and you talked was in preview to the game against Puebla.
Oh God, was it really?
Yeah, it was about a month and something ago. So obviously we haven't yet to sit down, but we're very much active. We're always talking on Twitter or texting each other in regards to America. I just kind of want to pick your brain just quickly, because I know Chris and Christian did a good job at kind of recapping the game against Nashville, kind of the ending and overall summing up the tournament. I mean, I just want to pick your 2 cents about it. I mean, how would you classify this tournament, right? Which is ultimately kind of a glorified preseason tournament in a sense, if you want to put it that way. Although I think, you know, there's a lot of fans still aching in the way that we ended up kind of exiting the League Cup.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, you would have won or you go to the final, you get a Champions League spot, right?
Yeah, you get a Champions League spot. I think if you qualify to the final, actually.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that was the only big takeaway that I was kind of looking forward to whenever America started in this tournament. I think in some sense, and when I say this very loosely, I think if we would have made the final, you know, and obviously gotten the spot in Champions League, I think it would have taken some pressure off. I wouldn't say a whole lot, but some pressure off of winning the league, because, you know, we were already in Champions League at that point. And so, you know, just kind of looking forward to that. But overall, especially that Nashville game, it's still kind of a little bit hard to swallow a little bit, that loss for me. You know, just seeing how the way things went down, you know, obviously watching it from a TV screen towards the end, you're just wondering like what the hell's going on. You don't really have that much of a good explanation, so you just kind of have to live with it. Yeah, I'm still kind of not necessarily hurting, but you know, still kind of like, I don't think shook's the right word either, but like just kind of bothered by it. But overall, I think looking at it too, you saw a lot of good, but then you also, I think we saw a little bit more of the bad of this team because you wanted to see more. But I don't think we necessarily got it the whole time. I mean, you saw great things, don't get me wrong, but I think you just wanted to see this team produce more and obviously advance further until the brick wall that they just ran into.
Well, I have myself there muted. I don't know what's going on. We've been having technical difficulties all day today, all right? So I apologize to everyone watching and to anybody listening to this and was like, why was there such a big gap right there? But obviously, like you mentioned, there's some stuff that worked, there's some stuff that didn't, and we'll get to that maybe a little bit later on in the podcast as we get close to previewing exactly what's going to happen against Atlas. Obviously, there's some questions and concerns around kind of the defense, obviously being the main one, and then, right, the trio, the attacking forwards, right? With Henry kind of being gone and being out for another 2 weeks or so, it kind of paints the picture as to whether or not Julian Quiñones could do it at the number nine spot, and if not, who can come in and take that role. So, like I said, some interesting things to kind of take into consideration. But like you mentioned, it's a bittersweet ending to this League's Cup. It's definitely not the way that any of us anticipated America going down, especially after kind of a roller coaster of a game, right? I think I mentioned and I put it perfectly when I was talking to you guys. I'm not mad at the penalty being recalled. I'm not mad at all that stuff. I'm upset at the fact that we shot ourselves in the foot, had the game literally 1 minute to go, and Nesser Araujo doesn't know how to finish marking a player, and we concede. And I think it's very premature and it's very cheap and it's not El Mas Grande way of doing things. And so it's obviously frustrating because I think that there was stuff that, you know, we could have benefited off of this. Imagine an America final against the likes of Messi. You know, it'd be a great test for us, you know, regardless of whoever. So,
yeah. And I think you kind of, like you said it too, with Nestor Araujo, I think it just kind of, he just kind of like smelt it, like he felt it coming from like a mile away, and then sure enough, there it was.
Oh yeah, the minute he substituted him in, I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Nope.
So, but, I mean, what are you gonna do?
I don't think you live and learn either, considering, you know, what other option do you have? So
no, and we'll talk about that because there is kind of concerns in the center back partnership. Obviously, Cáceres is out due to that broken nose fracture that he sustained against Nashville, and so we'll see who's going to step up. Although, for those listening and kind of want a spoiler alert, Nesser Araujo might not be available for this game either. So it's looking like it might be Emilio Lara painting as a starting center back. So we'll see. Still plenty to talk about. We'll get to that in just a moment. We kind of wanted to give our brief thoughts here in regards to League's Cup. And I think ultimately, I think we can say it was a disaster because of the way that we exited the competition. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make or break our season. As of right now, I think later down the road, we'll see where we end. And of course, Jardine is a little bit in a hot seat. I know a lot of fans are kind of starting to question him. So he really needs to pick it up and start, you know, building some traction in the league in order for those kind of criticisms to be a little bit more calm and more tame.
Yeah. 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 No, I definitely agree. So, and like, you probably think it's obviously an overreaction for me, but was it after the Columbus game, whenever we just decided to just like drop an egg goose on the scoreboard and we got lit up like 4-0, and I was like, yeah, Jardinez got to go.
So yeah, no,
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't like it absolutely whatsoever. Midwestern Cholo saying we finally going to see Lara as center back, and we'll see. Although everything does paint for that to be the case, we'll talk to you guys in a little bit as to why that is a situation, but. Ultimately, Dylan, I think we can agree, right? League's Cup, it was a fun experience at one point, and it was a terrible, terrible kind of bitter ending for America at the end. A lot of stuff to kind of take away. I know there's a lot of people that want to go into the officiating, the travel, and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, focus exactly on what happened on the pitch. What were you able to do and what weren't you able to do? And obviously, America wasn't able to close out a game, and that's why we are in the situation that we're in. But shout out to Christian and shout out to Chris, who came on right after that Nashville game, gave us a wonderful, wonderful recap of their thoughts in regards to this League Cup competition. And so I highly recommend that you guys go listen to the previous podcast, listen to their thoughts, listen to what they're saying. I think it's some really, really good stuff. And shout out to them for, you know, hopping on and giving us some wonderful inside kind of depth and thoughts into what this League Cup meant for America and the exit as well. But all right, Dylan, League's Cup is over. That's behind us like a ponytail. And now we kind of focus and shift directions to the Romeo Santos concert at the Atlas Stadium. Did you see the images afterwards, how the pitch looked?
Oh, yes. Yes, dude. I was like, oh god.
You're like, where is he going with this?
No, I was like, wait, what are you talking about? But yes, no, I just, whenever I saw this one, I was like, man, like, this obviously isn't going to end well.
Obviously, the ladies paid the biggest price because their game was postponed. I actually got moved to the next day early at the training facility for Atlas because the pitch was in terrible condition. So, Romeo Santos did a wonderful job of performing. I have no doubt about it, but he definitely left the pitch in a terrible condition, kind of giving us a vibe of what happened with Querétaro and thinking, okay, is this going to be another one of the situations where we have to wait yet another week to play because of these terrible
pitches? Oh, I forgot about that. I totally forgot about the Querétaro game,
Which I have no idea when we're going to make it up, actually. So, and the worst part about it is this is a midweek. This is a doble jornada coming up as well. We have a game in between. I think it's against Necaxa. I'll double check right now. But I feel like the calendar is very much squished and packed because of this whole league sub situation. So the fact that we're already catching up again, one game. Imagine having to do it with two games.
Yeah, because you know that's going to be a midweek game for just to make it up. Like a Querétaro game, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's going to have to be thrown somewhere in between. And I think it's already been scheduled for Wednesday, September 20th. We're against Querétaro. So, I mean, still, like we mentioned, midweek game right there. So, we'll see what happens. But obviously, the focus now is against Atlas. How do we come into this one? Do we have to take in consideration a lot of what Leagues Cup was, or do we kind of check that up to like a preseason and think, okay, there was some stuff we liked and stuff we didn't like, but we can't read too much into it as to how we're going to look like in the league? Or is there truth and value to this tournament and saying, okay, there's a lot of stuff that we need to fix because we didn't look so hot in that Nashville game?
I think there's stuff that needs to be fixed, obviously. And you know, obviously we'll talk about it too, but the big question mark going into this game is that center back partnership, obviously. But don't get me wrong. We hit on it too. There was a lot of good things that we saw that I think we can continue, but it's just like you said, you know, Henry's not going to be there. So, you know, you're going to look to Quiñones and to see what he can do in the ninth spot. So that kind of leaves open the left side. You know, obviously Cabecita's not ready still, so you're probably going to put Brian out there, and then probably on the right Leo Suarez. But you know, I think Jardinez got to figure out too, to the sense to where tactics lie with these players, because you know Quiñones and Brian aren't the same player. I think Quiñones obviously is different than Brian and playing on the left, and then you having Henry up top. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things that, you know, I think they need to be changed tactically for things to work, especially with the 11 that we're going to put out there. But there's still some things, obviously, like you said, that needs to be worked out, because this 11 is going to be completely different compared to an 11 that we're going to see in a month from now, because we'll probably have Henry back. We'll probably have Cáceres back and things like that. And obviously, like, Cidade was not going to be playing this game. So, I mean, you know, even by Wednesday, whenever that Necaxa game is, you know, it's going to be a little different because you're going to put Fidalgo back in the midfield.
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces for Jardinet. And I think it's a little bit unfortunate that we're in this situation, because I feel like for the past couple of maybe one or two seasons prior, fitness-wise, at least our key players have done a very good job of being present, right? Cabecitas is down, so we're probably not going to get him until maybe mid-September. Obviously, Henry's about another week and a half, 2 weeks. And then Cáceres, I mean, that could possibly take a month's time. We'll see what the evaluation with him. I think they're taking that week by week.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not going to be an easy task for Jardinet to kind of overcome. But it's a good learning curve, I think, if he really wants to cement himself as the manager of América.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about team news in regards to this, since we're already on the mix of it all. So you mentioned it. I think the biggest news is the center back partnership has a lot of questions and a lot of doubts as to whether or not it's going to be Néstor Araujo and Israel Reyes, or if it's going to be Israel Reyes and Emilio Lara. So a lot of it is pointing and painting for it to be Emilio Lara. I know that Jardine had been training with him in kind of that starting 11 scrimmages. And so I think everything points for Lara to kind of be the starting center back. I don't even think if Nestor Araujo was fit enough. I don't know that he's merited to be like, okay, you're going to go out there and fill in this spot because you're capable. I think Karina maybe has seen enough of him, to be honest. I think he's cost us a couple of situations already. I think you see it against Juarez. You see it against Columbus. You see it definitely against Nashville. So there's instances already throughout this season where he has fallen short of that expectation. And because of, you know, the hierarchy that he has, experiences in Europe, his past, spells with the Mexican national team, you would think, oh, it's Nestor Araujo. But truth be told, he just looks a shadow of himself. And he's starting to be a player that, let's be honest, you would rather see on the bench or not even on the team sheet.
Yeah.
Than to think, okay, you're definitely going to be capable of securing the game for us. So that's the biggest question in doubt. And follow us on Twitter at Iguay Podcast so you guys are up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas in America. We're going to keep you guys up to date. We get a press conference, I believe, on tomorrow, actually, because the team will fly out, I believe, either tomorrow night or Saturday. And so we'll probably get a press conference tomorrow and have a little bit more of an answer as to what's going to happen. So stay tuned with that. We'll keep you guys up to date. We'll keep you guys going. And, you know, do you ever miss those days, Dylan, where Pio Herrera would just give his starting 11 like a day or two before the game?
I really do, honestly, just because like it made it like things a little bit easier to where like we could just like either overreact or just like, oh, this is going to be perfect. And then like it turns out not perfect.
Absolutely. I used to love it because whenever we started introducing game day graphics,
yeah,
I could get that set up obviously like a day before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there was a last minute change, whatever. But the fact that he would always kind of give us that lineup, it would be like, okay, cool, perfect. I can go in, set it up, and boom, makes my life a lot easier. Now I'm kind of just refreshing the page of Liga MX. I'm like, okay, come on, where's the graphic?
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely just miss those days of when I wish Harina would do something similar like that, which I know he's not, because it's probably the most dumbest thing in the world to give your opponent like 24 hours in advance to know what your starting line's going to be.
Yeah.
So, but still miss those good old days in that sense. But yeah, we'll keep you guys up to date as to whether or not it's going to be Lara or if Nestor's going to be fit enough and Jardine trusts in him enough to get the job done. Obviously, the other big note, Dylan, you mentioned it, Álvaro Fidalgo will be serving his second game suspension from the two-game ban that he got from that Chivas game in the semifinal. I know a lot of people are probably questioning as to why he was able to play against Puebla and not going to be playing against Atlas. I'm still trying to figure it out. The only true sensible kind of thing that I thought about is because the Querétaro game got substituted and got postponed. So because that was an away game and this Atlas game is an away game, it kind of contradicts each other. I know that probably makes no sense, but in my head it does. So I'm just kind of rolling with that. So no Álvaro Fidalgo for this game. And I think the biggest advantage for this one is that there's going to be no Federico Viñas that we may or may not register on the substitute bench. So we don't have to worry about forfeiting any points whatsoever on the table. So that's also a very good plus. Another thing to note, I know a lot of you guys are asking when's the center back coming, right? A lot of questions as to whether it's going to be Cesar Montes. I think that's already been killed and put kind of to set in stone. He's not coming. It would be kind of a miracle to think that he comes. I know there's reports of Santiago Baños out in Spain trying to kind of secure the deal. Don't believe it. He's not there. I promise you. He's probably just at home watching La Casa de Famosos on rewatch.
No, so, he's flying back from Mazatlan right now on the beaches.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's leaving before the tropical storm gets there. So
yeah, exactly.
So he's a smart man. There's rumors that there's a couple of Brazilians in the eyes of this team. Obviously, Jardine wants people that he trusts, and obviously that's going to be Brazilian-based players. Again, will we get exactly what he wants? Probably not. But there is a kind of silver lining here, Dylan, is the fact that there's money to be spent. Mm-hmm. And obviously, with the sale of Edson Álvarez to West Ham, we get a certain cut of that as well.
Yeah.
So there's some money to play around with. And I think that's important to note, because and we'll probably talk about this when the transfer window closes. I don't think I've seen an America budget so ample within the past couple of seasons where I think, okay, we actually do have some money to work here with. Before we were kind of scraping at the bottom of the barrel, and now we have a little bit of money to move around. It kind of makes me think, okay, let's see what kind of business we can get done. The Quiñones thing, of course, and the Kevin Alvarez thing has been sensational.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good. Obviously, Quiñones hasn't delivered as much as Kevin Alvarez has, but I think it's just a moment before he kind of takes off.
Yeah. I mean, so, you see it though. And I guess in a sense, like, you know, that's good, but at the end of the day, you want results, you want goals or assists produced at the end of the day. And, you know, we're not actually getting that, but you see it there. And so you're just hoping it starts to translate more and more as the season progresses.
Yeah, no, I think he has to kind of adapt and play in the position he wants to, which is a little bit more towards the left, drift a little wide, pull some marks, run into space, open up the channels. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't necessarily want to be the one that he kind of receives the ball. You have to play off of him. Now he has to chase the play. I think that's what Henry does wonderfully. That's why he's such a great goal scorer, because in those instances when the ball is being played in transition and he's kind of chasing that play, a lot of people kind of lose track of him and he ends up in the box kind of in the perfect situation to tap the ball into the back of the net. Obviously, Quiñones is more of a player that's more driven and uses and abuses that speed all day long. And so I know they're two different caliber players, and we've seen it in League Cup that the gameplay just isn't the same. But when we did see them both on the pitch, my goodness, did we have a absolute carnival with Henry and Quiñones out there against St. Louis. So obviously, fingers crossed that we can get that again as soon as possible, because obviously that's the attack everyone wants to see. But in the meantime, we're stuck with either Patricio Salas or Mozumbito. Because right here, Chris says, question for the boys, start Patricio Salas and move Julian to the left or keep Quiñones at the nine? Or he says, or Mozumbito. I'll be honest with you, it's a big game for America. I don't think this is a time to kind of bring in the youngsters. If we're playing against a Necaxa, yes, of course, go for it. But you're going up against Atlas, who, you know, yes, granted, has won one, draw one, and lost one, but look decent in League's Cup. So you know that they have something to offer here. And even though their squad has been butchered, they've still found a way to keep some rhythm. So I'd say keep Quiñones on the nine, see what happens. And, of course, give Ryan Rodriguez a little bit more minutes in that sense.
Yeah. That's
last,
your best bet.
No, I would assume that that is the case.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you now, Dylan. We'll move off. Last question here, and then we'll talk about the game itself. Sergio Ramos, did you how can I put it for you? Buy or sell?
Did I drink the Kool-Aid is what you're asking?
There you go. Did you drink the Kool-Aid?
I did not drink the Kool-Aid. I was not Christian.
Or Chris. Although Christian was a little bit more, obviously because it's Real Madrid, that's his boy, and obviously so is Chris, but I think Chris was a little bit more realistic, although he still had some hope in getting the deal done. AJ, I think from the beginning, said, no way, Jose. Obviously a part of me wanted to take the Kool-Aid, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the transfer sum. He obviously was going to come on a free, but the wages?
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous amount of wages that it would take to get Sergio Ramos. I mean, you're talking a player that, I mean, what did it come out that he said he wanted like $10 million, a mansion, and God knows what else. And maybe it's a lie, but I could believe that as well. I think he's a very decorated player, World Cup winner, Champions League winner. For him coming to America, would I have loved it? Of course. I mean, who would have said no to Sergio Ramos?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this was the transfer window to do it, because there is a lot of grab and pull right now from either the MLS or the Saudi Arabia League. And so are you trying to throw your little dollar bills when they're throwing like 20s and 100s? It's just, you're not going to make any dents.
No.
No. And so obviously it's a different lifestyle too that Sergio Ramos would have gotten here than in the United States, and definitely in Saudi Arabia, right? It's three different worlds, three different lifestyles. Not to say that he wouldn't like it here, but I think that he would have preferred to go elsewhere. And of course, his future is still yet to be decided, but one thing's for sure, unfortunately, America was not going to be the case. And who knows, maybe in a different world where the transfer window wasn't going so crazy with the Saudi Arabia situation and the whole messy thing in MLS, maybe America could have struck a deal, right? $7 million a year.
Yeah.
Would have been on a really good contract. I think that still would have taken most of, not all our money, but it would have made it work and you would have had Sergio Ramos. So,
yeah, I think too, Baños pulled like a FIFA manager and he realized, oh, we have all these funds. Let me put it toward the transfer budget. Then he realized, oh, I still need to pay players. So he allocated it all toward the right
side. Yeah, he's like, oh, wow. He's like, none of these players are going to get paid for 3 months. You know what happened? It was like if you're playing career mode and you went to Sergio Ramos and you went to scout him and it said player does not want to relocate. And so you couldn't even try to make a bid. So I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Probably. I
absolutely see that going. But hey, hopefully in another world, in another day, we can get to the likes of another Sergio Ramos. Because I'll still say this. I think America is the biggest club in North America, regardless whether or not you have a certain Messi in an Inter Miami club. It's never going to get to the stature of America being America. So obviously, there's some other factors that play into all of that because, you know, Messi also has all these Apple TV sponsor deals and Adidas and, you know, left, right, and center deals. America wasn't going to be able to offer that much to Sergio Ramos, but it would have been nice to believe. But don't get me wrong. I think America's days of bringing like big, big name players aren't behind us necessarily. I just think it's how well and how smart we work with our funds now.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with not throwing it all out in the first transfer window. I think you save a little bit, see what happens in January, and then maybe not waste all of it in January as well. Make a couple sales, and then maybe you have a really, really big summer transfer window, of course, depending how the season ends. So that is the Sergio Ramos news, Dylan. Sadly, we did not drink the Kool-Aid, but we feel for our friends that definitely did.
Yes.
Those 2 or 3 days where it seemed like it was a possibility, Twitter was just something else, I'll tell you.
Oh, man. The amount of like pictures you saw of just like him like photoshopped with like an America jersey on and everything. It's like, absolutely, man, I remember I'd see them. I'm just like, man, imagine Ramos playing in America. And then I thought, not gonna happen.
I'd look at those Photoshop pictures and I'd be like, you know what? The home kit doesn't look that bad. Sergio Ramos really gives it more of an appeal.
Yeah, and then can you imagine, you know, just like Ramos here and then like he just wearing Calvin Klein and have like the America logo like right here, you know, bottom left or something like that.
It would have been perfect. Man, America should have been a little bit smarter because we do have that partnership with Mercedes, I think, still. And we saw obviously have that partnership with Calvin Klein. So I think it could have been worked. It could have worked, but it would have been tricky, that's for sure. But yeah. Sergio Ramos, if you're listening to this, man, come next year. You're going to love it. The Azteca is like nothing you've ever seen before. And you're going to get tacos. What more do you want, Dylan?
It's better than Madrid.
There you go. It is. It really is. But let's go to a couple comments right here saying, Chris saying, I did drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, we all thought about it. AP Jr. saying, a part of me wanted him to come to America, but knew it wasn't realistic. And Mansion, give the Castillo the Chapultepec. Yeah, good job. Yeah, that would have been perfect. Absolutely. Great job, AP Jr. I think with the best comments so far right there. They're saying, I think it's possible to bring big names, but it'll all be after the move from Europe, not directly from Europe. I think you're right there in that sense. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's your club news and updates, transfer rumors as well. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff developing in the background, and we'll see whether or not things develop and, you know, from here on out to the Atlas game. So we'll keep you guys up to date, like I mentioned, on our social media platforms. So make sure you guys follow us over. Mainly on Twitter, where you guys keep you guys up to date. All right, Don, let's talk Atlas versus America, Estadio Jalisco. Will the pitch be in good conditions? God knows. So fingers crossed that it's not terrible. But coming into this one, I think that there's a lot more added pressure to this game than I think lot of people aren't really talking about. America needs to catch up big time in the table. And not just that, but they need to kind of erase the memory past of the terrible game against Nashville. And I think the game against Columbus still haunts them a little bit. So
yeah,
there's a mountain to climb for Jardine. It's not a big one, but it is one that's going to have its obstacles.
No, it's Everest for me, dude. Jardine has got to climb Everest.
Almost there, almost there. We're going to see a couple green boots along the way, but if you're Jardine, how do you approach this type of game? Knowing that you already experimented in the League's Cup as much as possible, you saw what worked and you saw definitely what didn't. I mean, how do you come into this game and really prepare your side to come out and take all 3 points?
I mean, you kind of said, you got to go back and realize hey, we got to erase this Nashville game. We got to erase this Columbus game. I mean, I think you have to go back and look at the Juarez game. I mean, you were winning, then you concede what, two in 5 minutes? Was it right or wrong? But still, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got to look at those games and realize that these are three games that we didn't necessarily play our best. These are three games that should have been won that weren't won. And you got to look at those. You got to still, like you said, keep looking at those good things, because you can obviously build off the good things and do that for, a good majority of the game. I would say 90 minutes, but it's hard to do that a full 90 minutes too, at the end of the day, to be honest. But like you said, there's a lot of added pressure because, besides having the game in hand because of that Querétaro game being moved, I mean, you're still down. I mean, if for some odd reason, Repechaje or the Guia start of the day, you're not in there. You know how bad that's going to look for, the club, whenever you're not competing for a title at the moment. So like you said, there's a lot of added pressure. And whenever it comes to competing for this game and getting ready, this is the game where you have to throw your best out there. You got to bring out your best in all 11 players on the pitch. And, whoever gets subbed on first two, they got to be ready to step up and, start filling in the gaps if somebody isn't playing their best out there. So I just really want to see a clean game. I want to see players playing like they want to win instead of, just sitting back, or anything like that. But I think you look at these games that you struggled in, the games that you should have won, especially like you mentioned, the Columbus game, not necessarily the Columbus game, but, the Nashville game, my bad. And, the Juarez game. But, at the end of the day, Jardine can only bring so much out of players before, they decide, is it worth it or not on the pitch, I guess. I don't know.
Before they all chuck it away. I think you mentioned something specifically there that added, we keep talking about this whole added pressure and Jardine planting a well-rounded game. Obviously, for a full 90 minutes, it would be a dream to see that be a possibility. But it's more likely that we might get 45, close to 60 minutes is what I'm aiming for here of a well-rounded game for America. Yeah. Now, Dylan, this is technically the fourth jornada, technically our third game in the league. Now, usually back in the day, me and you would say, okay, let's give it about five games, and then five games, let's really start kind of bringing in the pressure and honing down on this team. Right? If things weren't going well, I think Dan Ortiz had a point where he had drawn maybe three and lost two or something like that. We were in just shambles, but I think we were not up in arms because we thought, okay, it's the first five games. We've had some friendlies in between. Let's not really, think too much about it. We ended up getting to the semifinals, by the way. But now I don't think it's the same thing because, yes, it's the fourth game of the season, but in total, this is your seventh, eighth game of the season.
Exactly.
Something, and I'm talking about competitive games. We're not talking about friendlies where you can make 15, 20 substitutions in between. We're talking about games where you were limited to those five substitutions. So, yeah, there's an added pressure to this that necessarily other coaches wouldn't get in the fourth jornada. And I think when Jardine was announced, there was this talk in America fans saying, okay, let's give him the time. Let's give him, the chances to, make mistakes, correct them, and this and that. Now, yes, you're in the fourth jornada, but you've had an abundance of games to kind of feel things out. And I get it. He didn't get a preseason. He came in last minute, and it is what it is. But he knew the task and responsibility that he was taking on, and he said it time and time again in interviews. So I know that he accepted the responsibility, so now I know that he needs to understand that, hey, woe is me is not going to fit. It's not going to go in this institution. You understood the role, you took the task, and now you have to go out there and perform. And so my biggest thing is that you got to make sure that whatever you do is you plant a good game and the right thing to get the result out against Atlas. And you know what? I think the biggest thing that has hurt Jardine is the game against Puebla and the game against Nashville, where America looked like prime Brazil, as all the TikToks and as all the Twitter memes were going about it. I think those games hurt Jardine more than they actually benefited, because now that expectation is there, and granted, it should always be there, but it's a little bit unfair because those same pieces are not going to be part of this puzzle against Atlas. So, of course, we're not going to get the same thing, right? Of course, it's not going to be that well-rounded, perfect game. You're not going to score those four goals off the bat. If you do, that's great. Great. You shut me up. I look like the fool, but the result was there. And I think that's most ultimately what all of us as fans are looking for, is that result. And so coming into this other Jalisco, the most important part is making sure that you secure your weakest link, which is that center back partnership, that defense side of things. We'll talk about a predicting starting 11, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to go with Lara in this situation. And then, of course, up top, Unique and Yunus to score, and Unique and Yunus to kind of put to bed all those ghosts of those missed chances that he had in the League Cup. I mean, they were terrible, absolutely terrible. The man needs to learn how to be onside. My goodness, if he gets called offside within the first 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to throw my TV out the window. I mean, literally, I get so frustrated when he just gets caught offside. I'm like, dude, you have been playing this game for how long? And this is your tactic. Learn to read the line. Give the guy a yard or two, because you obviously have that space. You have that speed. You have that advantage. So, Quiñones scoring is absolutely vital. So, let's see what happens in this instance. But give me your predicting starting 11 here, Dylan. What do you think we're going with?
Oh, man. Let me see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Making sure I got it right. let me make sure I got it right, because I'm trying to think of, because we don't have Gassadis, right? We don't have Gavisita. We don't have Hidalgo.
No Henry.
Okay. I'm trying to think, because I would just realized too, like, we got some players out. So obviously I'll go with Malagón in net. I'd go Isidro Reyes, Lara, center back, obviously. On the right, Kevin. On the left, dare I put Fuentes there?
I would, to be honest. Okay. I think Chava has maybe exceeded his opportunities. So I would definitely put Fuentes.
Put Fuentes there. Zendejas isn't out, is he?
No, he's not out.
Okay, I don't know why I thought he was. So I'll go ahead and put Zendejas on the right, put Leo on the left. I put Richard, Diego, and then Quiñones up top.
All right. Okay. I like it. I like Chris's starting 11 as well. He's saying Malagón in goal, which, by the way, I have a thing to pick with him, because he did not have the best of League's Cup. I will say this. I think he's getting that kind of slump in that second year spell. So I need him to step it up big time. Obviously, Kevin, Lara, Reyes, and then he's going Chava Reyes as well. And then Richard, Jonah, Valdez is the midfield. And then, of course, Leo on the left, Sendejas on the right, Quiñones up top. I'm going with something similar like that too. I think actually I'm going to give Brian Rodriguez the start, and I'm going to bench Sendejas, and I'm going to put Leo out on that right-hand side. I think it's worked, the instances that Leo Suarez has had on the right-hand side. He had to unfortunately take up the responsibility of a center attacking mid during the League's Cup, which a bit was unfair because of Diego Valdez's injury. Not to say that he did a terrible job, but he just wasn't a natural 10. Like, he likes the aspect of being able to play wide and kind of tuck in, and, you know, whether it is a cross or whether it's a shot, he likes that opportunity. In the midfield, and Roman has that number 10, things are a little bit different. So I think he's going to go back naturally to playing on the right. And then, of course, I think we're going to give Brian Rodriguez one more chance on that left-hand side, which I think he didn't do a terrible job at it. I just think the ball needs to see him a little bit more, and he needs to be a little bit more decisive when going in front of goal. Quiñones, like I mentioned up top, that midfield of Diego Valdez, Jonah, and Richard is probably the best and only situation you have, because Vidal goes out. Do you really trust Naveda to be in that center defensive mid spot? Probably not.
Yes.
So that's just probably you doing.
AJ would agree with that.
Yeah, no, of course. AJ wanted to put Chucho Lopez in that center defensive mid spot.
No, he does. He wants him on the left.
I don't know, man. He would put him as goalkeeper if he could. So he lives and dies by Chucho. So I know how that goes too. But ultimately, of course, the defense is the biggest question mark around. And I know a lot of people thinking Chava Reyes might get the start there. I'm leaning towards your direction, Dylan. I think it's going to be Fuentes. And of course, Lara with Reyes.
God bless that man.
Fuentes. Dude, I was looking back today at work. I was just kind of scrolling through our past previous squads, and I cannot believe that he was with the team since like 2019. And I was like, Jesus, this man has been on a 6-month extension for like 4 years now.
Oh man, God bless that man, dude. Because he has his moments. Like, yeah, like this dude just got burned. I mean, he has his moments, but like then he just like you say, puts in his shift, and you're just like, oh, like Fuentes played, like didn't even really notice because he just did his job and that was it.
Yeah, pretty much. And these are the type of games where I think it's he comes in and does a good job and kind of just fades into the background, and there's other things that kind of take away from the fact that Fuentes was playing. I can't remember what they said last time, but someone on while we were podcasting was like, Luis Fuentes is like a 1998 Honda Civic. Like, you know, he's just going to get it through. Like he's up there, but he's reliable.
No, yeah, for real. Oh, man. God bless that, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, of course, Kevin Alvarez, which I think has been the signing of the season so far for America, is what he produces up top is sensational. My only question is, what is he doing to help secure the back line? And that's my biggest question, because he was kind of at fault too, because he got caught off in the Nashville game in that second goal and that late equalizer. So there's things that we still need to work out there with Kevin Alvarez. And so, again, really great player. I'm loving what he's producing for us on the forward side of things, defensively.
A lot of things to tweak.
Kind of secure it. A couple of things to tweak out right there and kind of cement himself, which is kind of the similar situation that we were with George Sanchez at one point. And maybe Paolo Aguilar as well.
Respect.
So Bob. those both things got sorted out. I'm expecting the same thing to do with Kevin. So he's the least of my worries, Dylan, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like you said, just been loving what the guy's doing. You know, it's great to see. You know, you just want to see more from him. And I especially do too. I just want to see him, like you said, contribute a little bit more in the back line and see what he can do. Especially whenever there's question marks surrounding it, and especially how much we criticize the back line. We even criticize his back line even whenever it was like one of the best in the league, conceding the less amount of goals. I can't remember when that was, but I think that was still like when Bruno Valdez was still there and everything. But you know, I think in a sense he's part of that question mark of this back line. So even though he's been so good, he's part of it at least a little bit.
He is. Maybe he has the least of attention because of what he's been able to produce up front.
Yeah.
But there still should be some questions regarding as to what is he capable of doing to kind of hold off the attack. So again, something to look out for in this game. But again, that's kind of be our starting 11. Jardines very much a very direct guy when it comes to his style of football. He wants to be very possessive and he wants to be direct. Although that's the one thing that I will criticize this America side is that they're still trying to learn how to be direct. Mm-hmm. There's instances where I think they're still a little bit reluctant to kind of make that forward pass and they rather reset. Sometimes I think I'm just traveling back in time and watching Solari ball, although it's a little bit more fast paced. And it's a little bit more direct in instances. So it's not necessarily like for like, but there is a lot of similarities as to where you have the likes of Richard placing the ball to reset or Fidalgo resetting the ball or, you know, your fullback kind of resetting. And I need a little bit more of an engagement. I need players to try to take on players and kind of high risk, high reward in that situation. So I think that's what Hyena is trying to go for. I know that we have the players to do so. So I want to see a little bit more of that improvement against Atlas. I don't want to see a very conservative America side. I want to see a very aggressive America from the get-go. So an early goal would be absolutely fantastic. Then managing the game properly is important. But I think America scoring within the first 20, 25 minutes of the match, I know it's not necessarily the earliest, but to give ourselves that time frame, I think would be beneficial for the team, especially after everything we've endured in the past, you know, month or so with this whole League Cups campaign. And it probably sucks that we are also on the road for this game, but the team has been back for like a week and a half now with their families back at home training. So they should not be homesick anymore. They should be ready, focused, dialed in, and good to go. So what else do you want to see from this America side from minute one, Dylan?
Like you said, how did Nez bring out that Brazil style play? Like,
I want to see rainbow flick. Yeah, I want to see.
No, I mean, but like you said, like, you know, how you put it, like we've seen flashes of how good this team can be. And, you know, I definitely want to see that again. You know, I wish this was a game that Henry was available, because seeing him and Quiñones play together, you know, is really great. And I wish I could see that for this game, but obviously not. So I just want to see these players to be able to communicate, because obviously some of them have been together for quite some time. And obviously you plug in Quiñones, and, you know, Quiñones has been here for a little bit, you know. So I guess I want to see a step in the progression of like communication with these players, and, you know, how they play together, you know, just kind of being on the same page with each other in terms of like, oh, I know he's going to be here, you know, so I can pass the ball here, or, you know, oh, he's going to make this run, so I need to be ready and, you know, kind of time the pass or whatever, you know, just those things too, because, you know, it's, especially like I said, you're putting Quiñones in, you know, it changes things a tad bit, you know, especially for some of the players that are still trying to use them. So just taking this next step in communication with the team, and just being able to play, you know, some clean football up top, especially trying to get Quiñones the goal. Like you said, I think if they score in that 20-25 minute mark, I hope it's a Quiñones goal, because I feel like that's going to make a world of difference, and knowing that the team knows that if Quiñones scored, then like we can go out and go do it again.
Absolutely. And I think, obviously, like Kevin said, right, the Quiñones derby, all eyes are going to be on him. Like, yeah. Let's face it. This game is solely centered going to be on Quiñones and his return back to Atlas and the Estadio Jalisco. So if we're going by, quote unquote, the lay that X, then you expect this player to score against his X team. And like you mentioned, and if it's in within that time frame, it helps boost the morale. And I think he needs it, to be honest. I think he's dreading it. And then you saw how much it meant for him to score that penalty against Nashville. So I think he knows that he's in debt with not just himself, but a little bit with the fan base, because he's missed so many opportunities that could have changed the game. And so I think he knows that he has huge responsibility on his shoulders to carry the mantle and the baton that Henry Martin has temporarily left for him to carry. Right.
Yeah.
Once Henry's back, it's a whole different story.
Yeah. And I love the way that, even though, like, obviously, like you said, he's indebted with himself and with the fans for, you know, not scoring the chances. I like to see how it hasn't really affected his game. It hasn't really affected his play, his form, that he's still going out there and playing the best he can be, even though he's not scoring these chances. I mean, granted, like, you know, that is really the greatest to say, because you want him to score, you want him to put away the ball in the back of the net, but, you know, it's good to see him and not affecting his form in a sense too.
Absolutely. And he needs to continue kind of having that strong mentality and knowing that, okay, I know I've kind of maybe made some mistakes, but next game or next chance, it's an opportunity for redemption. So I think that's important. Jason asking, any transfer updates? We actually talked about it a little bit earlier. Jason, literally nothing, no updates, no concrete updates. I know there's a lot of rumors, and we mentioned the whole Montes thing. Obviously,
we forgot the Walker Zimmerman update.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's a good one. Walker Zimmerman, buy or sell?
Sell.
Same. So I don't like it. I don't think I don't think he fits. And I've gone back and forth with Chris, and Chris can attest to this in the comment section, that I am not a Walker Zimmerman fan. I know he scored against us in League's Cup. I know that he just looks like he can be this great, amazing player. But I promise you, he's going to bend and fold in the League's Cup final, And he's going to be one of the reasons as to why Nashville loses that game. And I, you can quote me and you can find me. My ad is right there. You can tweet at me. If Walker Zimmerman scores the winning goal to give Nashville, I will gladly go on record and say, and make a video saying, Walker Zimmerman, please come sign for the second element. So
clip this, somebody.
Clip it. Put it on TikTok, wherever you guys want to put it. Expose me in that sense. But I promise you, he's not America caliber, okay? So, and really, there's really no rumor as, like, there's really nothing concrete. There's no actual reporter saying that we're looking into it. It's just people on Twitter saying that we should go for him.
That's, yeah, it's really what it is, yeah.
So, it's just, I don't know, the Zimmerman mania going on with the America Twitter community. So that's just that. But thank you for the question, Jason. And well, I think we've talked enough about this game. Obviously, there's a lot on the line in regards to this kind of continuing a good run of form or trying to build up to a good run of form for Jardinen, this America side. And we'll see what happens on Sunday. So, Dylan, all I think I have left for you to say is, what is your prediction for Sunday?
I'll take a 2-1 win.
2-1 win. I like it. Kevin saying La Zorra 0 and then 3 to the Super Birdies. So he's Kevin's very optimistic there. Going 3-0. I don't know, way too at this Estadio Jalisco where, yeah, there's, I don't know.
He probably has a Quiñones scoring all three for the Mexico City Eagles.
Yeah, I have no doubt about it, Kevin. Chris going with also a 2-1, similar to what you're saying. I'm going to be the bearer of bad news, and I'm going to go, and I wrote about this on my article for Last Word on Soccer. I'm going with a 2-2 draw here. I think there's going to be goals on both sides of directions. With Cáceres out, and there's a lot of questions looming as to who's going to be the center back. We've seen Lara kind of lose his mark, even in that center back spot.
Mm.
I think that there's stuff to be worked on. It's not to say that we're going to have a bad game. I think we're just going to have bad moments that are going to cost us in certain situations. So I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to go 2-2 for America. Obviously, trust me, this is the one time I want to be 100% wrong. I mean, if America ends up winning at 4-0 and I look like a fool, so be it. I mean, I've never looked like an expert in the 5 years we've been doing this. So.
Oh, I got a question for you. So how long or short is your lease for Lada if you start the center back?
Look, I think it all depends on himself, to be honest. I think he's either extending that lease or shortening that lease game by game. So if he goes out there against Atlas, secures himself a clean sheet, give him another 3 games. If he makes one mistake but ultimately didn't cost us the game, maybe another game. And it's just instances, different moments. I want to be optimistic. I want to say I want to give him 2-3 games, but with the way things are going right now, we need a quick fix. And if he can be the solution, great. If not, then sorry, kid. Gotta look elsewhere.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously playing right back and center back are two different things, but in the group, you're not ever afraid to go after him either.
So, yeah.
I was wondering about that.
No. Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see what happens, but we'll see. Going, Israel, right there.
Israel will be there to clean up for him when he makes a mistake.
There you go. And you know what? Israel Reyes is as great of a defender as he is. He's still young. He still has a lot to learn. He still has to grow and to showcase how good he is already. Imagine what that means. But you can't put it all on him either.
Mm.
Jason's saying 1-0 or 1-1. I feel like America is still very much lacking at the center backs. And I think his concern is just as big as mine.
Yeah. That's why I should have went for Ramos.
That's why we should have thrown everything at Ramos. That's why players should have said it's fine if we don't get paid for the next 3 to 4 months. Just bring us a center back.
Oh, man.
I mean, where do you pull all the funds? I mean, you sign Ramos and you charge your VIX Plus like another, like, use $20 just to sign up for VIX Plus instead of like $6.99 that the price is right now or something like that.
Could be. Yeah, it could. Yeah. What if America just gave him like the Mercedes deal? Like, yeah, we don't need it. Take it.
He's like, here, Mercedes, you pay him now. just change the routing and the bank account that the Mercedes pays to, and just automatically dump it into Sergio Ramos' bank account.
Yeah. You need a new Mercedes? We got you every 6 months.
There you go. Throw in a Fiat just for the fun of it.
Yeah, there you go. Fiat, yeah.
Oh, godly. Man. Well, I mean, God forbid that actually happened, but hey. Who knows? Midwestern Cholo saying 2-1 last minute goal from Monzumbito. Wow, now that's something outrageous.
I like it.
There you go.
Monzumbito comes in for Quiñones. Imagine, dude.
Oh man, yeah. Midwestern Cholo, great prediction right there. Anyone else want to make a prediction before we wrap it up here? Please do so. We'd love to share it on here with you guys. But that pretty much wraps it up here, Dylan. Obviously, keep an eye out. Game's going to be on Sunday at the Estadio Jalisco, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. W2TUDN. So don't worry. No need for that Apple TV subscription. You guys, I'm pretty sure, all canceled it by now already. So no need to worry about that in that sense. And so we'll see what happens. But of course, America is in desperate need of 3 points. And a win like this is definitely going to be crucial. So. Kevin's saying that he's actually going with a 5-0. Quiñones all 5. So,
all right. I like it.
Jason saying, gosh, Ramos would make Ramon Juarez a god at center back. Who knows? Maybe. Or maybe if Ramos would have came, Juarez would have just been the guy to like pick him up and like be his personal chauffeur, show him around and carry his bags and stuff like that. Could have been a different life. Oh yeah, Kevin saying the club announced Mosu's brother passed away. Yes. Unfortunate, and our condolences to him and to the family. So I'm sure that he probably is not gonna be in the mindset. So maybe Monzumbito doesn't fly out and we see Salas instead. But again, we'll see what happens in that Lozano. Aspect. Lozano. No, Lozano's in Spain, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's how busy I've been.
Yeah, yeah, he debuted actually in the second division with Sporting Gijón. He's actually teammates with what's his name, Otero. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So oh, there's that American connection. I forgot about
still,
Otero.
Still flourishing to this day. Oh my goodness. Well, Dylan, that pretty much wraps it up here for us. Anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap it up here?
No, just hoping for a good game for America on Sunday, and hopefully walk away with 3 points, because 3 points are desperately needed.
Desperately. We need to start climbing that table. I know people will say it's early in the season, but we talked about the fact that America needed to start strong in the first kind of, you know, first couple of games, because then you have Necaxa, so that has to be another 3 points. So again, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy task, but after the Necaxa game, there's really no other game where you can start slacking off. So you guys start picking up the points now, or else it's going to bite you in the butt. So hopefully America is capable of kind of closing that gap and securing all 3 points in that sense. And we'll see what happens. But all right, that pretty much wraps it up for us here, guys. Thank you so much for coming out and talking all things Club America in English. Like I said, make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you guys subscribe to wherever it is you guys listen to the podcast, whether it's Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever it is. I don't even know. Apparently, Amazon got in touch with us to put our podcast on there as well. So who knows? You guys might see us on Amazon Music too. So we'll see what happens in that sense. And thank you again, guys, for all you guys' love, all your support. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America in English. With that said, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.